Well, good morning. It's always a wonderful treat to come and visit with you guys, and it's our home away from home, and it truly feels that way. And so thank you for the invitation. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you can turn with me to John chapter 21. We're going to go to the end of the Gospel of John, and I do have several pictures for you this morning of where we're going. And I think what I'd like to do this morning is to answer the question that I get asked the most, and that way you won't have to ask me after the meeting. But the question that I'd like to answer this morning is, how did you get from serving the Lord in Raleigh at Northridge Bible Chapel to Kigoma, Tanzania? And how did you know where to go and that the Lord wanted you there? And how did you connect the dots? It's a good question and a valid question. And so that's going to be our agenda this morning, a bit of testimony. But I trust that through me sharing how the Lord did this, it'll be a blessing to you, and we can see how he uses his word and how he just has a plan for each one of us, and it's unique and wonderful. So I'd like to read, and I'm going to break in right after, in verse 19, right after the Lord finishes dealing with Peter. And I want to just break in on this and read a few verses, commit our time to the Lord, and we'll get started. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, speaking of Peter. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, following, the one who had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me." These are the last words of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. Verse 23 is just a reiteration of what was said in verse 22. But the last words are really important, isn't it? You follow me. You follow me. And let's open in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love for us to send your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world and to live the life that none of us could live, and to go to the cross and pay a price that none of us could pay. And we thank you for that glorious resurrection and that victory that was won. And we thank you that we have a living Savior, a one who is alive and able to save to the uttermost those who come to you through him. And so we thank you as we gather today that you are in the world at work in the lives of so many, Lord, everyone. And so we just thank you for this. Thank you for working in our hearts and our lives. And we commit our meeting to you this morning and just pray that you would bring glory to your name. And Lord, speak to our hearts and stir us, we pray. We give you thanks. Commit it all to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't ever normally talk about movies, and I don't watch a lot of movies at all, but there was one movie that I saw recently called Risen. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but in that movie, it's we don't know if this really happened or not, but one of the Roman centurions that was in charge of the crucifixion, Pilate's right-hand man, this is the story of him and how he was charged with investigating what happened to the body of the Lord Jesus. And so he was given the task of finding that body and settling this city down. And, in the midst of the movie, he opens the door into the upper room. And having seen the Lord Jesus crucified, and then he sees him alive several days later. And he's saved. He's in the movie, he's born again. And so he begins to follow the disciples as they are following the Lord in this post-resurrection ministry there that was just, I believe, 40 days. But there was a scene in that movie where the Lord disappeared, and the disciples are stirred, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And then some things were shared that Jesus said, and so they begin to head to Galilee to meet the Lord. And Clavius is his name, and he says to Peter, "Where are we going? What are we doing?" And Peter sat there for a second, and he said, "We just follow. We just follow." And it really hit me, because in the stage of life that we're in and where we are in this journey, that's it, isn't it? We just follow. We don't really know, you know, where what tomorrow will bring, or next week. We have a plan, but basically what it comes down to is, for the believer, for the disciple, we are following the Lord Jesus. We're following him. And that's really the short answer. Jennifer and I joke, you know, that's the guy answer to that question I proposed. We're just following the Lord. But let me give you the more detailed answer of how we ended up heading to East Africa. So I don't know if any of you knew this, but Jennifer obviously grew up here. You know, one of her requirements for dating me was that I was interested in foreign missions. And so it was something that the Lord planted in her heart back in high school. And I had just, this was back in 05, I believe, I had just come back from Congo. And Jonathan Peck came to me, who was a missionary in Congo, had come back from the field. And he was going back for a short trip of 2 weeks to investigate, to see whether the Lord had closed the door for his family with all the fighting going on. And he came to me and he said, "John, I believe the Lord wants you to go with me to Africa." And I just laughed, because I was on probation. You know my story. I was saved in 2000 out of a life of crime and drugs, and I was still, I was on probation. I couldn't leave the state. I had to ask my probation officer to do anything after 7 p.m., And he said, "I want to take you to Africa." And I just laughed and said, "No way." And sure enough, within a few weeks, he came back and he said, "No, I'm really convinced, after praying more, that the Lord wants you to go to Africa." And so I told him exactly what had to happen. And we began to pray. And one by one, those things happened. And I was doing an expedited passport, and I'm off to Africa. It's amazing. How the Lord works. But so I had just come back, and it was shortly after that I met Jennifer. And so it was something on our hearts. But you know, we meet, we get married, we have children. We have four somewhere around the premises here. And we're living life. We're serving the Lord at Northridge. And we were commended to the Lord's work there. And we have been for many, well, I say many, 7 or 8 years. In a full-time capacity. And to sum it up, we're just following. We're just following the Lord, living for him and sharing the gospel with others and studying his word and teaching it and just following. And about 7 years ago, our assembly started they were doing a VBS. And the way this started was, we went to an apartment complex less than a mile away and began to hand out flyers. And when we did that, we tapped into a refugee, the beginnings of a refugee deposit location in Raleigh. It was the first few families. They were from, they were Bhutanese. They were out of a Nepali refugee camp in Nepal. And so we began to invite these children and this complex. As families would move out, the owner would replace them with a refugee family. There are 164 apartments here. You can walk from our chapel to this place. And now there's probably, I would say, maybe 6 or 7 non-refugee families living there. All the rest of the apartments are filled with people from, let me just give you a rundown of what this looks like. There's people, families from Syria, from Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Then we get into the Asian. We have Burma, Myanmar. We have Nepal or Bhutan. There's the Philippines. I'm surely I'm missing some of those guys. And then the African countries. There's Chad, Central Africa Republic. Most of these people come out of Congo with all the turbulence in Congo, and they go out to, as refugees to the surrounding countries. So we have Africans coming out of Zambia and Tanzania and Uganda and Burundi and you name it, all the surrounding countries. There's a family from Somalia. And so this is a unique place. A gift, the gift of tongues would be very helpful for just walking around because you can't communicate with anybody. It's really, it's challenging. You can. Yeah, the way to communicate is through the children. The children come and they learn English and they catch up in their grade in that first year. It's amazing to watch them. The ministry there, many of you know Amy Scheffel, who married Andrew Griffith. Amy is now on the field in Myanmar. They just left a few weeks ago, so they're in Myanmar, and they're learning a language that's like circles. I don't know if you've ever seen languages like that. I pray for them. I'm thankful Swahili at least has the English alphabet in it. But she moved in. She was the first one who moved into this place and began to live among these people. And so this ministry began where they gave her the clubhouse, and so the clubhouse became a homework help type thing. And so in this clubhouse, in the evenings, Monday through Thursday, I believe, there's homework help for all ages, and kids would come and they need help. They need major help with all kinds of things, all the way from kindergarten and preschool, really, all the way to high school. And so through that, volunteers, believing volunteers, relationships are built, and they're invited into Bible studies that take place on Friday and Saturdays. And then from the Bible studies, young people were pointed to solid youth groups. Ours was one of them, obviously Amy being there. And so our what began as a kids ministry swelled to as many as 80 kids on a weeknight, and we would feed them a meal, play an hour of games in the gym, and then we would give them the gospel and have a gospel meeting. And this went on for several years. And so eventually these kids grew up to teenagers and began to fill our youth group. Our youth group today at Northridge is 80% refugee, and it's a neat ministry. So the Lord led us to 2 years ago to sell our home and to move into this place. And for us, it made sense because, you know, our youth group lives there, and we want to live among the people we serve. And so I have to confess, Jennifer was ready to go on this, and I was a little dragging my feet. I needed a little more confirmation from the Lord on this first move, but we did it. We sold our home, and it's amazing how the Lord did it. I can't. The stories along the way, well, it may bore you, or it may just take up hours and hours. But one of the things the Lord did was the very family that bought our home lived in this complex. Now, our home went on MLS, and we had over 40 showings in a couple of months. And the family that bought our home was moving out of Cedarport Apartments. I remember finding out, and I said, "Where do you live?" And they didn't want to say. It's not the nicest place in North Raleigh, I have to say. But they kept saying, you know, in North Raleigh, Sandy Forks Road and apartment complex. And I said, "Which one?" And they said, "Cedar Point." I said, "Are you kidding me? Cedar Point?" They said, "Don't move there." but we were. And so we moved in. We've been there 2 years. It's been a real blessing to be there, just the people we've met, the challenges we faced, and actually it's been really good training. But when we moved in there, we did not foresee this next step. We did not see this as a stepping stone to something greater. We saw it as a new ministry the Lord had given us and called us to. And so here we are, and we're serving, and it's really overwhelming. It was very overwhelming, and we had no boundaries. We had a lot to learn. And I remember just saying, "Lord, Would you draw to us who you want us to minister to? There's just so much to do. There's only so many languages you can learn, you know? I mean, it's interesting. Our next door neighbor was from Iraq. They moved out. A family from a refugee camp in Kigoma, Tanzania, moved in next door. It happened again downstairs. Happened again. We're on the third floor, by the way, three floors. All three levels, a family moved in from that refugee camp in Kigoma near Gusu. And so there were, I don't know, maybe six or seven families from that particular refugee camp. But, you know, they all look the same. There are a lot of Africans there from different places. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And the Lord just drew them to us. We just had a love for them, and they were drawn to us, and we would have a family over, and we couldn't say a word. We'd eat chicken and rice and smile at each other, and at the end, we would sing Amazing Grace with the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll spare you my singing voice, but you get the point. You know, it was sweet, and many of these were believers. Not all, but many of them, and so here we are, and we're serving the Lord. We're just following. And then the Lord laid a burden on me. It was so heavy, and it began to just drag me. And this went on for several months. You know, it was kind of like that slow break. You know, it was just that heavy burden got heavier and heavier, and over about a six-month period, felt like I was striving and just discontent and didn't understand. And I went to one of our elders and met with him and just told him what was going on. And if you can turn quickly, we're going to get to these pictures in 2 minutes here. Colossians chapter 4, I want to show you two verses and then we'll go to the slideshow. Colossians chapter 4, Paul said to Archippus at the end of this letter, and after our brother listened to me and she shared, trying to explain, I don't know what's going on, he said, you sound stymied. And he said, when Paul exhorted Archippus, and he said, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. Whatever the Lord's doing, you should go home and you should resurrender your life all over again and just give the Holy Spirit freedom to do in you whatever he wants to do. That's wonderful advice. No matter where we are in life, if we would all in this room go home today and resurrender all over again and say, Lord, everything I have is yours. Do whatever you want to do in my life. I give you the green light. Have it. And then be willing to do what he lays before you. Wow. And so we did that. And we did that. That weekend, things began to open up. The next morning, we had an elders meeting. And I was in the meeting. And I had already talked to the elders briefly about it as a group. And I came back and shared some more. And in 2 Timothy 4, one of the brothers, after we talked about it a little bit, he shared a verse. And it's in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There it is again, fulfill your ministry. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me through both of these men, fulfill your ministry. In other words, figure out what he's calling you to do and do it with all your heart. That's advice for all of us. And so that weekend, the Lord just pulled the clouds away. I was doing a series that on Sunday mornings on Paul's missionary journeys. I was learning Swahili. We're learning Swahili to minister to our neighbors. I had a Bible study on Thursday nights with African young men, and the Lord just opened this up and he showed us what this burden was. It was a foreign call to a Swahili speaking African country. And as we began to look in the CMML book, there was reached out to several families, but there was one in particular that the Lord seemed to lead us to, and they were the Johnsons in Kigoma, Harry and Ruth, and Luke and Gina. Luke is Harry and Ruth's son, and their family. And so one more thing I'll share with you. So after that Monday, I met with Jonathan Peck, and we're talking about this, and he sees it, and he's excited, and I come home and I told Jennifer, I said, you know, that was Labor Day of last year. And I came home and I said, I guess I'll take a trip this winter and next summer we're there. And she said, whoa, whoa, I'm with you, but I'm not where you are. So this came through me. The first step to the apartments really came through her. So I understood. So I just backed off and I prayed. We had others praying, a small circle praying. And it took a few months, and there were just quiet months. But I was just struggling, you know. This was so heavy on me. And the Lord spoke to me in Numbers 11:23 one morning. And it says this, has the arm of the Lord been shortened? Now you will see whether what I say will happen or not. He was just speaking to me, encouraging me. And then there was another morning I was really struggling with whether this was all going to happen or not. And it was in Mark chapter 4 where the Lord said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. And the Lord just got me. We're going to get to the other side. We're going to get there, John. And so it was in November, Jennifer came and said, you know, not only am I ready, I'm excited. The Lord had worked in her heart, and so together we began to move forward with the leadership at Northridge and planned a trip. And so here's the trip, and this will give you a little bit of an idea of what we may be doing over there. But I took Isaac, my oldest son, and we flew to Tanzania, and this was in the end of March, beginning of April of this year. And I call this the Last Supper, because some of you may know I'm a little on the picky side with food, and I just wanted to get a good meal in before we left. But we flew through Dubai, which was neat, but we never left the airport. But we came into Dar es Salaam, and that's the main city, not the capital. But there's a family here, and their names are Steve and Jill Davies. They are UK missionaries with CMML. I think it's called Echoes. Just a dear couple. They do kids clubs during the week in Dar es Salaam. They have a preschool that they have built and run. And they have, we just read their latest newsletter and confirmed it all over again. They have a kids club where 300 to 400 kids come out on one kids club during the week, every week. It's powerful what they're doing. So Kigoma is on this side, and then Dar es Salaam's over there. So we had to fly all the way across to Kigoma, and here's Harry and Ruth. This is a recent picture. Both of these are missionary kids, and they're really Africans. They are Africans. They were born there, their family, or at least grew up there, and as missionary kids in different families and married. This is Luke and Gina and their four children, and their children are so excited that four other children are coming. And this picture is a little older, so their kids are really close to our kids' age. Here's some statistics. Kigoma City, Lord willing, that we will be working in, is about 300,000. The region or county, as we would call it, is about 2 million. There's a strong Muslim presence. There are Christians there, but from every missionary we've spoken to, there's real discouragement. The maturity level is so low, and level of commitment is therefore very low among the believers there. And so there's a real need for evangelism and discipleship. And I love the model. What they are doing is they are discipling the Tanzanians to reach their own people. And so they have a burden for that. Here is Harry and Ruth's home, and this is where we stayed for 2 weeks. Isaac and I, and a couple of preliminary things. This is on Lake Tanganyika, and this is an enormous lake. It is beautiful, and at the lake, inland though, it's your typical red mud streets and grass huts and mud huts, but there are monkeys at this lake, and they love to steal your picnics and your food, so Isaac had a lot of fun with that. The sunsets are beautiful. To give you some perspective here, those mountains across the lake are 30 miles away, 30 miles. And those mountains, that's Congo, those mountains are taller than any mountain in North Carolina. And so it is huge and it is open. And every evening the sun sets over the Congolese mountains, beautiful place. This is the local Walmart. You can bring your own bag, I guess, and there's all kinds of neat things you've never seen before. There it is. There's the clothing section. You can buy clothes already made, but mostly you get the fabric. And there is a table out in the foyer. If on the way out, there are prayer cards, and there's one of the fabrics. Actually, the one right here, this yellow one, I believe, is the one out there. Transportation. Jonathan Peck used to joke with me about this. Here's running water in Africa. They carry things on their heads. We see it at the apartments too, you know. These are bajajis, and these are little taxis that they drive on the... Well, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I think that's both. Side of the road. So we have a lot to learn, but let's get to the... there's an assembly in Kigoma, and this is the new... I went a little fast there. Let me back up. There we go. And so this is the assembly here, and Harry is going to be speaking this morning, they had the mud floor and the wood sides, and they built this new building, and we were there not for the first meeting here, but it's a healthy assembly. And there are four elders. Harry is one. The other three are Tanzanians. There's about 50 folks in fellowship there. It's a healthy meeting. There are two dozen small village assemblies scattered all throughout the region of Kigoma, and they're pretty much struggling. They need teaching. Many have one elder, or they're one of the elders that they had is no longer there, or there's all kinds of things going on, and there's a real need for solid gospel teaching. They need to hear the gospel, obviously. So Harry and Ruth are amazing. They took us on two village trips. The first one was to a village called Kigali, and they have built this boat. It's about maybe 40 or 50 foot long, probably something that Peter and James once used at some point. Everything on this boat was made by hand. Even the drills, it's this kind of drill. I've never used one, but... sawed by hand. They made this boat. They went out and picked the tree for the tall mast, and it's amazing. But we sailed about 2 hours to this village, and you can see it right in these mountains. This is a Muslim village, and as we got some tracks out in Swahili, and we came into the bay, and we anchored there, and we took this little boat in, and the kids just gathered. And so here are the children, just so open to the gospel. I'm going to skip through this. When we pulled up in the harbor there, Isaac goes, "Dad, they don't have clothes. Dad, they don't have clothes." And he's walking back and forth going, "They don't have clothes on." And I said, "It's okay. It's okay. Just be thankful you do. It's all right." they were amazed. Many of the kids had never seen a white man, so they were, you know, sneaking up to Isaac and... but Harry, these Muslim imams are sitting behind him in the white shirts, and they said, you know, "You can preach your message." And so he gives the gospel and preaches to the group that had gathered. It was amazing. And he did the two roads that lead to, one leads to destruction, the narrow leads to the Lord Jesus. And the kids are just everywhere, and this is really, I believe, the focus of our ministry there when we get there, Lord willing. But this is, I had to be careful taking pictures here, but the man in the purple or whatever color you want to call that, he's with us in our team. He was a Muslim, raised a Muslim, but he was saved, went off to live with his grandmother who led him to the Lord, and he's giving his testimony to a group of teens. They had a pool table in that village. I don't know how they got it there, but it's amazing. Some of these places. So we come back, and we had meetings. The prayer meeting there is in the afternoon. They don't have night meetings. And I was able to speak with some help interpretation. One of the great things about Kigoma is that there is a Wednesday night meeting for the missionaries. Now, there are several that you can see in the picture here. This is the only picture I was able to get. There's a Pentecostal Bible teacher. There's a Methodist couple on the couch there. There are several Baptist folks there doing wells and doing kids meetings and various things. And then there's an assembly, you know, we're from the assemblies, and all of these folks gather together and all their differences, and they come and they have a meal and they have praise music, they sing together, and they have a message. They share the responsibilities each Wednesday night. And over 15 years, they've not had one thing to divide them, because they are all there for the sole purpose of reaching these people with the gospel. It's really fascinating. It's rare. And that couple, that older couple on the couch, they were in town for business. And one of the others invited them to this meeting, and they came, and they were not saved. They did not know the Lord. They were churchgoers. And through coming to this special time for these missionaries to be encouraged and encourage one another, they heard the gospel and got saved. And so it's a fascinating little thing. We look forward to that, where we can be encouraged and fed. There's a discipleship school that Luke runs with another Tanzanian brother, and it's a one-year discipleship school where three days a week they do intense study together, and mandatory sports afterwards. They take them to one village church a month, and they give them responsibilities, and they say, you bring the message. They have the short word and the long word, and then you lead the kids meeting. You open the meeting. You give your testimony, and they give them all responsibilities. And so, so we go to this one. This one was by road, and the bigger car wins in Africa, so you have to get off the road. And four wheel drive is a necessity. You won't get very far. We took a ferry across one river. You wonder how old that thing really was, but it made it. This is the kind of village life. It gets a little rustic when you get out there. And we get to this village, and I was going to ask you the question here. How many think Isaac ate his bananas? These are bananas soaked in or cooked in palm oil and then with some tomato sauce. I don't see any hands up. You guys are smart. You guys are smart. Well, I passed them over to these guys, and they ate them. But they were good. They taste like potatoes. You have to just take banana out of your head. But I have this arrow pointed to this guy's head. He gave the word that morning. 16 years old. Looks like he's about 10. And it was good. It was solid word from the Lord. I had a translator. All of the men at that table except Mr. Johnson there had a part in the meeting, and several others did as well. And they're being discipled, and it's just really encouraging to see that. And this is the chapel. Harry and Ruth came into this village many years ago, and they set up in the soccer field and did the Jesus film. And they intended to sleep in a tent. And a family invited them to stay in their hut, and during that weekend, that family came to the Lord. They were Catholic. They didn't know the Lord. And they were trusting in their works. They heard the gospel. They all got saved. And today, the man of that home is one of the elders in this assembly. And so it was neat to see the fruit of these faithful missionaries and their labor. I put this in. I don't know if it's gonna work. I was gonna give you. Is it working up there? Oh, it is. Great. Okay. Yeah, you can see, you know, the inside of this church, and they're doing some singing, and we didn't need the sound for this, but it is beautiful. If you want to see it, I can email you the video or something. But they really get kind of wild in the village assemblies. Harry, after a couple of the songs, he came over and he goes, yeah, we've tried to get them to calm down a little bit, but they just don't seem to listen, so we just let them go, you know. But they love the Lord. And there's Ruth doing the Sunday school out in the grass there. There's the nursery, and kids were falling out left and right. Meetings are long in Africa. So there's proof that I was there. I had to get Isaac to take a few pictures, and he wasn't interested. So I'm moving fast here. I want to get to this last part. This is Ruth's, one of her, where her heart is, widows and orphans. Every Tuesday, she had to have, you know, make it on one day because they were coming throughout the week. but on Tuesdays, the widows and orphans gather, and she has to have a list. So she has a list, and I think I took a picture of this list. This is one day. And all of these people come to her throughout the day, and they line up, and she prays with them. She listens to their problems. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's medicine, sometimes it's other things. And she prays with them, and she shares scripture with them, and she helps them. And she is just all day, coming in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And it was sweet to see that. The last thing I'll share with you, and I want to share just a couple of quick verses in the few minutes we have left, is something that happened, and this is how the Lord confirmed. At this point, I really didn't need much more confirmation. He had done so much. But here we are on this trip, and the city of Kigoma didn't pay their water bill, and so they shut the water off for the whole city. And Lake Tanganyika is a very clean lake. You can drink the water. You can drink it. Now, I wouldn't advise it right at the shore, but if you go out a little ways, you can scoop water from the with a cup and literally drink it. It is clear. 20 feet out, we were looking off the boat and seeing the bottom. And so these men would come down and fill these jugs of water and come up into the city and sell it. And so I'm a little slow to catch on, you know, with the Lord. He does speak to us primarily through his word, but he does speak to us if we're paying attention. And it took me a while to catch on. So we had a well at the Johnson's house, so we didn't feel the no water thing going on, but we did see it. And I'm thinking, man, they're going down and getting water. How cool is this? They're selling water all throughout town. These bikes are everywhere. Right down the road, there's another one. We come up this way, and there they are. We could find four or five bikes right there in that picture with water jugs. There's another one. And but then our well pump broke. And the Lord was like, okay, you're not gonna pay attention here, John. I'm going to get your attention. And so the well pump broke, and then we didn't have water. And then I began to really feel it. Now, I was studying John 4. I was in John 4 with the woman at the well. And she was a thirsty woman in two ways, right? She was thirsty. She needed water. But the Lord came there to meet her spiritual thirst. And I'm meditating on this chapter. We've all studied it many times. And the Lord has me back in that chapter. And then I began to get it. Ah, these people are thirsty. They're thirsty. And the Lord was just speaking to me, saying, John, I'm calling you to be one of these guys right there. You come to the source of water and take it into the city. And what does the proverb say? Buy the truth and sell it not. We give away the gospel. And so this became an illustration for me of confirmation. The Lord is calling me here to share the gospel with these people. And out of the 2.2 million in the region, which included all the villages, including the city as well, 60% are under 16. 45% are under 9. It reminds me of Nate Bramson there in Niger. Those are similar statistics, because after 45 or 50 years old, life expectation just trails off. But everywhere we went, there were children. And there's no camps. So not that they may not need a camp in that culture, but there's so little outreach to children. And this is one of the things the Lord has laid on our hearts. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are already white. And there they are, the kids. They're the ones that were open to the gospel and happy to see us and willing to listen and wanted to hear. And their hearts are tender. And the Lord has put a burden on us to bring up a generation for the Lord in that place. And so this picture right here that I took is on our prayer card. You can find it in the foyer. I'd encourage you to take one and remember to pray for us. Our time is gone, but I think I have time just to read to you three verses on how the Lord confirmed even in his word. First Chronicles 28. First Chronicles 28. I was reading in my quiet time in Chronicles, and I came to verse 10 of chapter 28. And you know just as well as I do how the Lord speaks, and the verse can just become a neon sign. You can't, it's just, it comes alive, and it sticks to your mind. You can't get away from it. I would read verse 9 as well, but for time's sake, just mainly verse 10. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And this is David speaking to Solomon. And if you go over to verse 20, and David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. The Lord just was speaking to me through this. He has chosen us to do a work for Him, to build a house. And what He's saying here is, be strong, be brave, don't fear. Keep at it until you've finished it. And so that was going on. And then Isaac and I were reading through the book of Acts. And see if you can turn to Acts chapter 20. In verse, I believe it's 24. It's a familiar verse. It says, but none of these things move me, Paul speaking, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. There's the word finish again. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now I was studying John 4. And you'll find in John 4, the Lord Jesus said the same thing. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish the work. All three finished the work they were given to do. Solomon finished that temple. The Lord Jesus finished paying for our debt of sin on the cross and proclaimed it. It is finished. And Paul himself could say at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, have finished my race. And what a... All three of these verses are just staring at me, and I'm thinking, wow. And then I began to connect the dots. What did my elders say? They said, John, fulfill your ministry. It's the same word in the Greek. And so the Lord is just burdening us and calling us to a work. And the next most popular question we get is, what are you going to do when you get there? What are your plans? And the guy, I think the best answer is, we're going to follow Him. We're going to follow Him. I have no idea. You know, I know it's going to be gospel, sharing the gospel and teaching the word. And I can't do either of those if I don't learn the language. So we're learning the language. And so here are some of our plans that are in set here. So that's where we are. And it is exciting. And I can't wait to find out what the Lord is calling us to. But we do covet your prayers, and we fly out January 29th. We'll be in a language school for 4 months, and then into Kigoma to, Lord willing, begin the work there. And so thank you for letting us share what's going on. If you have other questions, I'll be out at the table there after the meeting. And again, encourage you to get a prayer card. We have learned, as you have as well, I'm sure, that prayer is so, so important. The prayer of the saints. And we would say, as Paul did, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the ways that you work. Whether you call us across the oceans, Lord, or across the street, we just want to follow you, Lord. Neither is more important than the other. You are the one that's important. And so we thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and what you're doing here and there. And we just pray that each of us would just be those who could say, we're just following. We're just following. Lord, glorify your name through each of our lives. May the gospel be going forth unhindered through each of our lives. And help us to be a blessing to you and to this lost and dying world who needs a Savior so desperately. We thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen.